Okay, good to see everybody back. So we're about to begin a new sugya. And it's a sugya that begins in Masechet Sukkah. It starts off as a Dalad Minim sugya, but it very, very quickly takes us out of the realm of Dalad Minim into a really cool Torah Kula Shaila. And the Shaila we're about to discuss is really the sugya of Baal Tosif, of adding on to mitzvot. One can already realize that obviously this is going to be very much a start as a Dalad Minim sugya. One of the major discussions about Baal Tosif is the person who takes more than the four minim that the Torah requires us to take. But again, it's going to impact very, very quickly on other aspects in Allah as well. And before we even open up the Gemara, before we even look at the sugya inside, there's almost like a fundamental issue that has to be addressed in terms of the very issue of Baal Tosif. The way we usually identify, usually associate in our minds Baal Tosif as being some kind of a shinoi in the heft of the mitzvah itself. We're all familiar with the famous Rashi's. In Chumash, Rashi in two places points out, Baal Tosif speaks about the person who adds on that fifth bias, his tefillin, or perhaps Baal Tosif speaks of the person who adds on tzitzis strings, the person who adds on to the Luluv and the Esrog. Whenever we're speaking about Baal Tosif, at least at this point of Baal Tosif, we're talking about something that's really affecting the chefts of the mitzvah itself. It's for this reason that whenever we speak about Baal Tosif, there's almost like an internal tension within the prohibition of Baal Tosif. And on the one hand, in order to violate Baal Tosif, you have to really get to the mitzvah. You have to really impact on the mitzvah. You have to really change the chet of the mitzvah. On the other hand, the item that you're superimposing on the mitzvah doesn't even really belong here. And in a certain sense, is not really part of the chet of the mitzvah. So you have almost like a strange phenomenon. That on the one hand, in order for Baal Tosif to be violated, you have to really latch onto the mitzvah and ruin the mitzvah and destroy the mitzvah. On the other hand, the item that's not supposed to be here in the first place, how does it even have the ability to latch onto the mitzvah? Not even the tosefus to the mitzvah itself. So that's going to be an inner tension within the prohibition of Baal Tosif, and we have to see how we solve that tension. Again, particularly how it starts out in our sugya. So there are really two different sugyas that appear on the same daf and lamed aleph and masechet sukha. Both of them address Baal Tosif, but at first glance, they seem to say two diametrically opposed things to one another. So let's take a look where the sugya begins for our purposes on the bottom of lamed aleph and lamed aleph. So the Gemara is really a throwback to what we spoke about in the past. We spoke a little bit about last week, and we spoke about a lot several months ago. And that is the issue of a potential psulim of hador or hidur within the midst of dalad minim. And particularly the Gemara is focusing on the view of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda seems to be the lone sheet in Tanoim that holds that somehow the regular rules of hador and hidur don't apply. That's what we spent so much time last week and the week before discussing about how could Rabbi Yehuda be machshe lulav hayovesh and how does that impact on us? That we spoke about what if a person is stuck and doesn't have a kosher lulav, can it affect relying on Rabbi Yehuda's standards? That was pretty much the lesson. But now the Gemara goes back to question, is it even really true that Rabbi Yehuda doesn't require the standards of hador? So let's pick it up from Laman Aleph of an Aleph. It's about 12 or so lines from the bottom. The first one line is hoya. So he asks the Gemara for little boy hador, is it true that Rabbi Yehuda doesn't accept the principle of hador by lulav? But not in odin as a lulav elabemino did Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says when you tie a lulav up, now let's not forget Rabbi Yehuda was the biggest supporter of the idea of tying up a lulav. Rabbi Yehuda held that you must tie a lulav. If you don't tie the lulav anas bin aravas, then you're not yet in the mitzvah. We happen not to pass it. We pass that lulav. Ain't sort again. You don't have to literally tie it. It's lechatchil. It's in the mitzvah. It's a nice, right thing to do. But with the avenue yaitze, even the lulav adas and rabbis are not tied. Rabbi Yehuda Shita was no. That lulav tzarech egin, that you absolutely must tie it. The ikuva mida araisa. So the Mishnah says that according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's important to pick what your tie is going to be. You can only tie the lulav adas and rabbis with mino, with something which is either from a lulav tree, adas tree, or a rabbis tree. You can't just take a rubber band. You can't just take a shoelace and tie them together. It has to be tied by mino. The question is, why is that? My timer. La'ab mishum d'bay hodor. The only way to explain why the halacha would require taking mino would be because otherwise it looks pretty miserable looking. Then you take a nice lulav branch that we do. You tie up the lulav that way. Oh, that enhances that. It merges together. It looks beautiful. If you take a rubber band, take a shul, take something that's not even a min of lulav hadas and aravos, presumably it doesn't look very nice, and Rabbi Yehuda seems to object to a not nice looking lulav. But why is that? If Rabbi Yehuda denies the din of halter by lulav, so then why is he concerned with what you tie the lulav with? So Gemara says, no, it's not true. We totally misunderstood Rabbi Yehuda. The reason why Rabbi Yehuda insists on tying the lulav with mino, lo, the amar Rava afilu besiva afilu bikur the diklo. That Rava told us that Rabbi Yehuda, who insisted on using a lulav derivative, didn't require that it be a beautiful, nice lulav branch. It could even be something, some scrap, some bark, something off the side of the lulav tree. As long as it's from the lulav tree, it doesn't matter what it looks like. It looks as miserable as a rubber band as his old shoelace. And Rabbi Yehuda said that's still okay. So obviously, if Rabbi Yehuda never really insisted on using something that's necessarily beautiful, obviously the reason for Rabbi Yehuda has nothing to do with beauty. So what is Rabbi Yehuda's reason? Why does Rabbi Yehuda require that the tie be from one of the species of lulav? You'll have my time with Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda's reason is as follows. Awesome. I'm sorry, my time to read the awesome. Why do you read over there? Hold, you have to use something from the lulav hadas and rubber tree. The kasava lulav tzarech eged. Because Rabbi Yehuda's shita happens to be that lulav has to be tied. That's our entire discussion. Rabbi Yehuda holds, minatora derives from sukkim, lulav hadas and rubber has to be tied together. Lulav tzarech eged. The imaisa min acharina, whereas if you're now going to bring another species, havalu chamisha minin. It's going to turn out that you have five minim in your hand. So if you're going to take, for argument's sake, let's say you're going to take some leaf from another kind of a tree and tie it together with a lulav hadas and rabbis, so you're taking chamisha minim, which would be a violation, presumably, of altoisif. That's exactly what altoisif is. Now let it add on to the minim of the lulav. So the reason Rabbi Yehuda insisted that you use lulav hadas and rabbis prada is because otherwise you have a violation of Baal Tosif. So Adkan Divrei HaGemara. So we have to analyze this Gemara and say, wait a second. The Gemara made it very clear that the engine that's driving the prohibition of Baal Tosif here is because Rabbi Yehuda held Lulav Tzarech Eged. The Gemara said that very clearly. The prerequisite for this being a violation of Baal Tosif is because Rabbi Yehuda says you need an eged, and therefore when you're ma'aged, whatever you choose to be ma'aged, that is halachically meaningful. And I'm going to add to that statement. Not only is it halachically meaningful, but now it becomes part and parcel of the chafetz of the lulav. In the worldview of Rabbi Yehuda, that lulav tzarech eged, I understand how the tie and this additional min, the min that doesn't belong, becomes part and parcel of the chetz of the alminim, because the mechanism of eged, which is critical according to Yehuda, is what connects, both literally and halachically, what connects that fifth min to the eged, to the aguda, to the other minim, and that's what sets the stage for the violation of altoisif. The Gemara just said it befeirish. The Gemara said that the reason why Rabbi Yehuda holds it's a problem, because some Rabbi Yehuda lulav tzarech eged. The implication is obvious that according to the view of the Rabbanan, who don't give such credibility to the Eged, who are not too concerned with Eged, who don't think the Eged means all that much in the Torah, it's a nice, appropriate thing to do, Zekir and Gadeo, make it a little prettier, but it's not ma'akev, it's not really necessary. But yes, Meshavenu, never heard of an Eged of Lulav, you don't really need it according to the Rabbanan. It would appear from the Gemara that according to the view of the Rabbanan, if you would take Esrog, Lulav, Hadassim and Aravis, and tie the Lulav Hadassim and Aravis together with something from another tree, that would be perfectly okay. Because that Enya that you're using, that fifth min that you're using, has no shaykhus to the Dalamina. It has no connection when you're dead to the Dalamina. It's not part of the Dalamina. If we want to use a phrase we're going to see in a moment, the phrase that Chazal use in the Sugya is called Hai Bechudekoi, Bahai Bechudekoi, which means literally that the different things in your hand are separate and distinct from one another. But man, the Rabba Murim, you can violate Baal Tosif, the Gemara seems to be telling us, is when the Tosefes merges and fuses to become part of the mitzvah itself. But if there's a distance between the item of the mitzvah and the Tosefes, if there's no shaychus, if there's no tziru, there's no halachic connection between the two, then we don't view that as a tesefes ala mitzvah. We view that as I'm shaking down in him and I'm holding something else in the other hand. Let's say lemarshal. Let's say I'm holding dalaminim. I'll give you almost like a foolish example. I'm holding dalaminim and I'm holding my sitter. Oh, it's my toysif. I'm eating a 15. Let's say ritzonos. Why is that a joke? Because there's no shaykhas between the sitter and the dalaminim. So that's what the Gemara says. In order to violate a toysif, you have to get that connection between the two. And the only mechanism the Gemara is using to get that connection is lulav tzorech eged, which would basically mean that according to the view of the chacham, which happens to be with paskin, there would be no way to violate Bal Tosef with Dalaminim. Because if you hold a fifth min separately on the hand, that's a joke. That's for sure not Bal Tosef. And even if you tie it up together, that's also not Bal Tosef. Because the tying, according to the Rabban, is commanded Laysa. There is no halachic mechanism called tying. So it's Ke'ilu, Apidin, I'm holding it separately in my hand. That's what seems to fly from this Gemara. Yet the Gemara doesn't say black and white according to the Rabban and up, but it's pretty clear for the Gemara, that's what it means. Because otherwise, why did the Gemara have to confuse us by saying, oh, Rabbi Yehuda held Lulav Tzorech Eged, that's why there's Bal Tosef, implying very, very clearly that Lulay, that factor, there would be no Bal Tosef. So I'd count Lamed Aleph Lamed Aleph. I have to turn the page now. To Lamed Aleph Lamed Beis. Fifth line from the top. The Gemara is commenting on a Braisa, where the Braisa says that the same way you're not allowed to take less than Dalaminim, so you're not allowed to take more than Dalaminim either. So, Amamar, Kishem She'ein Pochsin Mehen, Kach Ein Mosifin Alehen. So the Braisa taught us that you're not allowed to take 3 minim, you're not allowed to take 5 minim. It says, Mepshita, of course you can't take a fifth min. What's the Shaila? Pshita. What was that Pshita? What was Munach in that question, Pshita? It must be a flagrant violation of Bal Tosef. Otherwise, what's the Pshita? What's so gefil? What's so terrible? I'll take the fifth min. I have my Dalaminim, and I'm taking a fifth min also. What's so terrible? The Pshita meant it's a violation of Bal Tosef. What's the stacker right? Let me explain to you what the Chiddush is. Mal de Tema, I would think, hold the Amar of Yehuda, Lulav Tzorech Eged. I would think that since Rabbi Yehuda held that Lulav requires an Eged, and if I take a fifth min, so then I view that fifth min as being separate and distinct from the rest of the minim. Stop. Hold the phone. The Gemara just said in Amar Aleph that according to Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda holds Tzorech Eged, that's more of a reason to violate Bal Tosef. So what in the world does the Gemara mean? What's the Havamina? That because Rabbi Yehuda holds Lulav Tzorech Eged, therefore taking a fifth min is not Bal Tosef. That doesn't make any sense. So Tosef and Rabbi Yehuda are quick to point out, obviously what the Gemara here means is that you're taking the fifth min, but you're not tying it to the other three. It means you're holding in your hand, your esrog is never tied. I got my esrog in my left hand, and I got my Lulav Adas and Rava Star together, and I have my tulip separate in my hand, not part of the agud, not part of the agud. Oh, that's a good svara. That you're not allowed to Bal Tosef. You know why? Because since according to Rabbi Yehuda, there's a concept of lulav tzorech eged. Therefore, what's in the eged is in, and what's out of the eged is out. And what's out of the eged has no shachas to the mitzvah. That's exactly what the Gemara says. But hoyu v'yomer Rabbi Yehuda lulav tzorech eged v'im ma'isim min achrin. I would have thought, I would have made a case that if you bring in a tulip, I would have thought that we view them as separate and distinct things. So that would have been a great svara to say not to violate Bal Tosef because it's outside of the Eged. Kamash Malan, that a Havamina was wrong. Kamash Malan, you're still loving Bal Tosef. Why are you still loving Bal Tosef? So presumably that svara is not correct. It means it was a nice attempt, it was a nice idea. It was like many other failed Havaminas. Kamash blood of the Braisa, Ein Mosifin Aleihem, even though it's Hayav L'chudei Koyim, Hayav L'chudei Koyim, it doesn't matter. So Kamash blood, that according to Rabbi Yehuda, Yehuda Bal Tosef, even when the fifth min is outside the Eged. Rabbi said, we follow the Rabbanan. Let's extrapolate now. A fifth min outside of the Eged, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is like a fifth min to the Rabbanan. Means once the Rabbanan say an Eged is commanded Leisa, the Eged doesn't exist. And the Gemara says that you're over a coin to Rabbi Yehuda, even if it's outside of the Eged. So for sure you're over a coin to the Rabbanan, no matter where, there's no such thing as an Eged according to Rabbanan. So at the end of the day, is there Bal Tosif according to the Rabban Allah? Of course there is. Once the Gemara commits Bal Tosif to Rabbi Yehuda, even when it's out of the Eged, notwithstanding the possible Havamid of the Svar of Ayla Chudekoi, once the Gemara rejects Ayla Chudekoi, so then that Svar is rejected vis-a-vis the Rabbanan as well. And therefore, you are over Bal Tosif. Even though it's quote-unquote Ayla Chudekoi, that's not a point there for Bal Tosif. That's not a mafkiyah for the Yisra Bal Tosif. So this is the problem. This is the crux of the problem of Ezra. This is the issue that all the Rishonim have to deal with now. Tachlis, bottom line. Is that Svar Ha'evuchu Dekoi make sense in the Halacha? The Gemara threw it out here as a possibility, and the Gemara quickly rejects it in Amud Beis. But in Amud Aleph, that seems to be what the Gemara was going with. Because in Amud Aleph, the Gemara says the only reason why it is Bal Tosif on the fifth min is Nebuch, because Rabbi Yehuda holds it's in the Eged, it's tied together, and you're using that to be the Eged, and and therefore there's Bal Tosif because it's Bechubi Yachat and Chefta Shem Mitzvah. Implying that if it's not Bechubi Yachat, then there's no Bal Tosif. So in Amud Aleph, although the Gemara never said the words Ayla Chudekoi, it's obvious that's what was behind the Sugya in Amud Aleph. And then you barely turn the page 10 lines later. The Gemara says, Ayla Chudekoi, cute, nice, Havamina, but dead wrong. So I don't understand. Is it Yer the name? Is Ayla Chudekoi Plaintiff about Tosif? It's not a valid Svar Ayla Chudekoi. If Sof, I'm holding a fifth in, I don't care where I'm holding it. I'm holding it next to me. There's no such thing called Ayla Chudekoi. So basically, that's the steer. That's the problem. That's a challenge for today. How do we be Asher the two Gemaras? Amud Aleph is appearing to accept the poetry of Ayla Chudekoi, and Amud Beis, the Gemara, completely rejects it. What's the answer to this contradiction? So we're both saying there are two major approaches in the Rishonim, two fundamentally different approaches in the Rishonim, that are going to set the stage for interpreting and reinterpreting multiple sugyas, and two completely different approaches to Bal Tosif, all revolving around how you solve this problem. So Tosfos on the page, on the Flamin Aleph of the base, Tosfos already attempts to solve this problem. Comes Tosfos and said, we totally missed the boat on Amud Aleph. Hakol, Mikol, Kol. We missed the boat on Amud Aleph. How did we miss it? Where did we miss the boat? We thought that what was the pot there according to the Chum of Bal Tosfos? Remember the Gemara said that only Rabbi Yehuda holds with Bal Tosfos because he holds Sarech Eged and the Rabbanan don't. So we plugged in, the Rabbanan holds, not of Bal Tosfos. It must be because Ha'il Chudekot. So Tosfos, go back to Amud Aleph. Gemara never said. Gemara never said a word about it. The Gemara just said, according to Yehuda, move to Chagid, therefore there's Bal Tosif, leaving it up to our imagination, why according to the Rabbanan there's not, and we logically plugged in Ha'il Chudekoi, because we cheated and we read him the days, so we plugged in that spark. So Tosfos, we're wrong. That's not the reason. What's going on in Amud Aleph is something totally different, says Tosfos. Let's pick up the top Tosfos on Amud Aleph base, Ho'am, the Rabbi Yehuda. We'll pick it up almost halfway down the Tosfos. The first one in the line is Eged. Shlomar, second one long, about 10 lines or so down the Tosfos. Lamed Aleph Amud Beis and so. V'yei Shlomar v'lo dami. V'chashei agdo shlo b'mino, ein lo lechashiv kemosif, mishum de ein zeh kederach kedei loson. Left field, mamash out of nowhere, Tosfos gives you another reason, a totally independent reason, why in Amud Aleph, if you're not over Bal Tosif according to the Rabbanan, has nothing to do with Ha'il Chudekoi. Absolutely zero. Why are you not over Bal Tosif? This Eged that you're using, this tulip leaf that you're using to tie up your Lulav Adas and Aravis, how is it being held in your hand? What does an Eged look like? You know what an Eged looks like. You tie it around this way. Guess what? The Dalam Minim have to go this way. You have to hold it right up. You have to hold what's called Derek Ben Wasson. If you walk at the shul holding your lulav sideways, you walk at the shul holding your lulav upside down, you're not Yaitzis, as they says. Because the Gemara learns out from Sukkim that the Dalam Minim have to be Kederach Kedei Loson. And that's the Achiv B'diyev B'diraisi. The Gemara learns out from Apostle, it has to be Kederach Kedei Loson. To such an extent, there's a famous Shuvah, Shazah Shuvah, Binyan Tzion. When the Binyan Tzion was asked about if a person lives in Australia, should they hold the lulav upside down or right side up? Because maybe Derech Kedei Loson depends on the entire globe. So if my lulav grew in Eretz Yisrael, not in Australia, maybe I have to hold it upside down. So the Binyan Tzion takes the Shaila with some degree of seriousness. I don't think anybody else took it with any seriousness, but the Binyan Tzion actually addresses the Shaila. It's generally assumed that no matter where you are, you your starting point is the earth that you're standing on. It doesn't matter where on the globe, which part of the globe this particular lulav group. But Rabbi said there is a din min haTorah that the lulav and the dalminim have to all be derech delosim. Therefore, what the Gemara meant in Amud Aleph is as follows. In order to be oivah bal tosif, you have to be mosif a min in a way that if it would have been a kosher min, you would have been yaitzer with that min. But if you mosif something in a manner, in a tzur that's not mitzvah anyway, that's not being mosif ala mitzvah. That's like holding a sitter in your hand. A tnai for bal tosif, a condition, a prerequisite for the violation of bal tosif, is that you have to be mosif a chefza shal mitzvah, a chefza shal mitzvah. It's just that the chefza shal mitzvah that you're being mosif is not the one that the Torah wants. So you have to take a tulip like a kosher lulav and be mosif with that tulip in order to be able to be mosif. But if you were mosif with that tulip in a way that's not derech hamitzvah anyway, because you couldn't have been yotz with that even if it was the kosher min, it's nishkei baltos. And that's the word meant in an aleph. And according to the Rabbanan, when you're mosif a tulip leaf as an egged, it's dvar b'teilim. It doesn't even register as a potential violation of baltos. And it's definitely lost. Uminim shemulos and tais minim kedenki lost until come on. Aval Rabbi Yehuda de Bayeged. But according to Yehuda, the world changes. Why? Yesh lo lichashiv kimeis megadasai. The chol aguda shlo kedenki lossai. The din is that the dalad minim require kedenki lossam. The aguda doesn't need kedenki lossam. The aguda is never kedenki lossam. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, something shlo kedenki lossam is chal on and ashamed dalad minim. It could be part of the mitzvah of the Dalaminim, even not be Kedech Le'losim. Not that Rabbi Yehuda denies the din that the Dalaminim have to be Kedech Le'losim. Everyone agrees the lulav's got to be standing up straight. Everything's got to be standing up straight. But the Eged, which is also an integral part of the mitzvah in a Torah according to Rabbi Yehuda, there is no din of Kedech Le'losim on. So since Kedech Le'losim wasn't said in a Torah of the Eged, and the Eged is still a significant chelech of the mitzvah, when you take a tulip and use it as an Eged, I can't ignore that tulip. I can't say that's dvar. I can't say that's like calling you sitter. I can't say that's there's no shachas to the mitzvah. It is toifes a shame mitzvah d'alminim, and once it's toifes a shame mitzvah d'alminim, then it's a min chamishi and it knocks you out of the box for about toifes. So it's only Rabbi Yehuda who subscribes to the idea of lulav tzarech eged who says that when a Torah it's chal on a chela for the chefza for the mitzvah, even though it's not for the chelasim because it sneaks through the back door, through the eged vehicle. It's only according to Rabbi Yehuda that you can have al toisif shalak edech delosim. But according to the Rabbanan, that's inconceivable. And that's what the Gemara meant for the Torah. So there is no Gemara, says Tosis, that said that according to the Rabbanan, there can't be al toisif, because hayin l'chud ekoi. V'hoivam, we never was such a Gemara. Never was such a din. Never existed. All the Gemara meant was, if it's shalak edech delosim, it can't be al toisif. But if it's kedech delosim, if you walk at the shul this morning with four minim and a tulip and a rose, if it's standing up straight, you're in violation of Al-Tosif, Min HaTorah. I give out the time of Chudei Koi, Hal Chudei Koi. That was a nice half a minim, but it was rejected in a number of days. Mash Bulat is not, it's not a smart. There is no poet of Hal Chudei Koi, Hal Chudei Koi. Adkan, Debi Al-Tosif, Nosech HaSim. Rabbi Yitzhak, notwithstanding what Tosif says in the Sukkah, Tosis in Masechet Sanhedrin says the exact opposite. Whereas Tosis in Sukkah revamped the Sugya of an Aleph. Whenever you have a contradiction between two Sugyas, unless you say it's Machlekes or Sugyas, you have to revamp one. So Tosis revamped the first one. Tosis in Sanhedrin revamps the second one. Tosis asks the same question. Tosis says, if you take a look at the Tosis in Sanhedrin, Peches of the days, Zdibra Masel is Svirulon. It's a long Tosu, takes up most of the oven. So Tosu says, about Kosher, we'll pick it up from the first word in the line is well, Eged. So about Kosher, the Mashba, the Masik, the Rabbi Huda, the Lo Amah Ha'ilachudik. The maskana of a base, on an alpha base, the first one line, it's about halfway through the Tosfos. The first one line was Eged. The Tosfos says it would appear that according to Rabbi Yehuda, you don't say Hadachu Dekwa. That's what the Gemara said in Amar Beis, that there's no Hadachu Dekwa is a Pelter. The Kosh came to Rabbanim, whereas Zichra, according to the Rabbanim, there's no Hadachu Dekwa. We're going to skip the next line for a moment. V'yesh Lamar, the Hosam mit the Rabbanim also. Boom. Comes Tosus and changed the entire world. Comes Tosus and says, the real Gemara is the Gemara of an Aleph. The real emissive discussion of an Aleph is about Baltosif Deraisa, which the Gemara said there's no Baltosif Deraisa because of Ha'iluchu Dekor Ha'iluchu Dekor. Not like Tosus revamped because the Shloka Dekor Delosa. Not true. The real Mafkia, the real Toiter of Baltosif, there's Ha'iluchu Dekor Ha'iluchu Dekor. So Hakabin on the days, the Gemara says, Kamash 1, it's still a problem. It's still a problem. But the Rabbanon is a problem. But the Rabbanon is also Altma. Why did the Rabbanon change the din? So the Ritva explains, Chazal will worry. If a guy's going to walk the shul with five minim, there's nothing wrong with that. In a term that's perfectly okay, there's nothing wrong with that. If you hold a Shem Yehuda and you tie it together, then you have a baptized Rabbanon. But according to the Dom of Rabbanon, at the Gomer Min HaTorah. So what's the problem? The problem is, if you let a guy go ahead and walk the shul with a tulip, you know what may happen? Next year, I'll come to the realization, you know, these lulavim are very expensive. I'm going to buy myself a dairy lulav for $60. I'll go to the flower store, I'll buy a tulip for $1. But last year, I took a tulip. I'll take a tulip this year, forget the lulav. So it'll be a big mechshol. So that's the kamash water of days. Don't encourage people to take an extra min of the lulav, even though there's nothing really wrong with it, min ha-Torah, because it's not about toys. It's too prohibitive in the Rabbah. So unlike the Tais and Sukkah that revamped the Sugya and Amin Aleph and knocked out the Svar of Ha'aluchu Dekor Amin Aleph and introduced a brand new Svar that we never heard of, Shalom Dekor Yolosa, Tais and Sanhedrin says, no, you got to redo the Gemara of Beis. The Gemara of Amin Aleph is good. The Gemara of Amin Aleph, that's the problem. The Gemara of Amin Aleph, that didn't really mean Kamash Bon Asa, Kamash Asa doesn't mean Tais and Asa, it's Midr Apanan, Asa the Mishrach, some very, very watered down, limited concerns. So you might say, when all the dust settles, we have a major, major machlokes. Now, two opinions in Rishon, 2 days in Tosfos. In order to violate Baal Tosef, do you have to be concerned with this idea of Hai L'chud Ekor? Does that mean anything for Baal Tosef? Is that a pointer for Baal Tosef? According to one day in Tosfos, yeah, that's the pointer. And according to the other day in Tosfos, it was a fleen havamid at best, completely irrelevant lamasa. What's the din? Allah Khalamai said, want to violate, and I want to, by the way, if it's going to violate Baal Tosef, do we have to ask ourselves and analyze, you have to define what is called Halachot Likoy, is that even a fact in Allah Khalas? So if I said, there's another sugya that impacts on this, don't close your minds on the Hadron yet, if you did, you have to reopen them. Back to Peches and Alf, probably wondering what in the world was going on in Sanhedrin Peches. Why in Peches is the Gemara, is Tosef been talking about this topic? Because there is a Gemara in Peches and Sanhedrin that's talking about the intricacies of the parasha of Zochin Mamre. Zochin Mamre is someone, he's very, very smart. He's a great Talmid Chacham. It's just that he decides to take head on the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin passes the shadow one way, and he says, I want to disagree with the Sanhedrin. And we go to vote, and the Sanhedrin is outvoted. No, I'm going to stick to my position. And I'm going to continue passing in my position and telling people to follow my position. The Gemara said, the Pasuk Chumash says, it's Chayav Yisa for that. It's the terrible, terrible undermining of the authority of the Beis and the Gadol. It's a Zochin Mamre. Zochin Mamre is not an Amoritz. If he's an Amoritz, he's not a Zochin Mamre. Right after Higil HaRoi, has to be someone who could potentially hold his weight in Pesach Halacha, and he has to be the Moirid against the other Chachamim. So, such a person is Chayav Yisa. So the Gemara and Peches Mavez has a few considerations as to what exactly does that mean, the Zochin Mamre? What is he arguing with exactly? Again, it's a long sugya in Sanhedrin. We're just going to pick up one nekuda. We might talk about the possibility, one possible quote-unquote machloikis that the Zochin Mamre is taking on the Beis Din HaGadol. The Beis Din HaGadol is relating to us what a particular tzuras ha-mitzvah looks like. The Rambam Medim Chos Mamre tells us that the Beis Din HaGadol really have three different functions in terms of paskening. On the one, the first, the role they had was to be the ones who continue the Messiah. They are the ones who teach us. They receive from their Rebbeim, what tefillah looks like, what a sukkah looks like, what lulav looks like, what chametz is, what matzah is, what the mikveh is, shchita is, all just the basic tzuras ha-mitzvahs of the nivusu ishu pishan meshi rabbeinu. That's the first goal of the Beis Novella. Then the Beis Novella has another role that they have to be medavim muslimus, so new issues come up, and new shahs come up, and new nuances come up. You have to figure out how do you take the pre-existing dinim, what do you do? How do you apply Shabbos to the following case? How do you apply Kashrus to the following Shaila? And what do you do? In this case, the Dinimamunus. In that case, the Dinimamunus. New cases that weren't part of the absolute detail of the Messiah. The Messiah was on the Torah Shema Sava, the Messiah was on the basic, the basic surahs of Torah Shema Peh, and the Messiah was how to explain Torah Shema Peh, and how to extrapolate Torah Shema Peh. But new things come up, new Shahs come up, the Beis Nadol has to be able to rise to the challenge to apply the previous halachas to new cases. Then the third role, says the Rambam, is to make new dinim. Make new dinim with the rabbanans, yagim, mitzvahs, the rabbanan, takonis, and menogim, etc. That's the third role of Beis Nagol. That's the famous Rambam writes in Yinuchos Mamrim, that if a person disagrees with the Beis Nagol in any one of those three areas, he's in violation of those sasim and adam v'shem yinuchoyim b'yismo. Whether he said, Beis Nagol says, listen, this is what it's going to look like. No, I would like to disagree. So that's a violation of those sasim and adam v'shem yinuchoyim b'yismo. Beis Nagol says, we darshan the following kavachomer, we extrapolate the following din, and this is what we think the din should be. Nope, I disagree. And the Beis Nagol is on the Luminian, the guy says, nope, I'm disagreeing. I'm running my own religion here. That's a violation of Los Salsa. And the third case is, the Beis Nagol says, we think it's a great idea, we should institute Neres Chanukah. And the guy says, nope, terrible idea. I'm going to tell everybody not to light Chanukah candles. That's also, the Rambam says, a violation of Los Salsa. It's only on that last lacuna that the Ramban disagrees. Rabban says that the third role of Beis Nagodol of instituting Dinim Terabonon, that's not Los Salsa. The Ramban is not arguing that's what Beis Nagodol is supposed to do. They also have to make the Terabonans. But the Ramban didn't think that was including Los Salsa. The Ramban thought Los Salsa was only when they're either transmitting pre-existing Dinim Deraisa or extrapolating to, in a sense, create applications of new Dinim Deraisa. Once they get into the realm of the Rabbanans, the Ramban thought that's a different hat to wear. That's not the hat of Los Salsa. That's a different mark, a different source. Different theories for that, that's not Los Salsa. That's a technical machlokes from the Ramban. But the first role of the Beis Nagol was just simply to transmit the pre-existing Dinim Deraisa, that's for sure true. So the Gemara discusses on Bechas Mabeis situations where the Beis Nagol gave a certain presentation about a certain mitzvah, and the Zochei Mamre disagrees. So in order for a person to be a Zochei Mamre, it's got to be a really serious disagreement, a disagreement that would really ruin the mitzvah, something that would disqualify the mitzvah. Let's say if the Beis Nagol says, we think you should be following the Chachima, and the Zochei Mamre says, nah, you don't have to do it, that's not really Zochei Mamre. I'm not advocating arguing with the Beis Nagol, but that's not really Zochei Mamre. Zochei Mamre is going to be a significant change. That's going to be a real deviation to what the Beis Nagol will say. So it's with that background that the Gemara begins to discuss different kinds of mitzvahs, that the Beis Nagol says one thing, and the Zochei Mamre says something else. So the Gemara discusses the mitzvah of lulav. The Beis Nagol tells us, listen, the din is, you have to take dalamidim. These are the dalamidim. It's got to be an esrog, it's got to be a lulav, you have a das and a rav. How do we know that? Because this is parasha. It says pri etz hadar, how do you know it's an esrog? Because kach mitzvah lulav, ishru pishet v'shevenu. How do you know lulav? Everyone didn't meet him. This is the man. And a guy comes into the Beis Nagol and says, you know what? I think that the real way to perform this mitzvah of lulav and esrog is to take a lulav, esrog, a das and a rav, and a tulav also. That's my version of what the mitzvah should look like. And the Beis Nagol says, you're crazy. We have a Messer, Mishra, Mishra, Beinu. Only 4 minutes. No, I disagree with you, Messer. I think there are 5 minutes. Such a person becomes a Zochei Mamre. The Gemara says, not so simple. Gemara says, not so poshut. So let's take a look at Beches of the Beis. Gemara says that we're not so sure there's any parsha of Zochei Mamre in lulav. And I'll tell you why. The fifth line from the bottom. The lulav my svirla. Is svirla the lulav and tzor eged hay l'chudei koi hay l'chudei koi. That's all we need for our purposes. If you hold lulav and tzor eged, which is how we pass it like the Rabbanon, so then when the Zochei Mamre comes in with his grandiose chiddush, and you have to take a lulav, you have to take a tulip also, what's so terrible about what he said? Who cares? Hay l'chudei koi, hay l'chudei koi. It doesn't register, it's meaningless what he said. But he told us it's a Bubba Matzah. Just because you said something Narish guy doesn't mean you become a Zochei Mamre. In order to become a Zochei Mamre, you have to disagree with a very relevant Pesach of Beis Nagol. Beis Nagol says the mitzvah is this way, and you're going to ruin that mitzvah. If people follow your psak, they're going to be undermining the kashrus of the mitzvah. Dosis zochei mamre. But when it comes to dalaminim, how is that zochei mamre? Hay mechudikoy, hay mechudikoy. If you hold lulav ein tzoch eged, so whatever's outside the eged, whether you did an eged, didn't do an eged, it doesn't really matter because the eged is meaningless min haTorah. So the fifth min, that tulip, it doesn't register. Bishlam according to Rabbi Yehuda registers, Ochanei registers, and it can move, it can become a zochei mamre, maybe. But according to the Rabbanan, what shaft is zochei mamre? Hay mechudikoy, hay mechudikoy. Rabbi said, wait a second, hold the phone. The Gemara here in Sanhedrin is using the svar of Ha'ilu Chudekoy Ba'ilu Chudekoy to be poter the Zochei Mamre, which makes it sound like what the Zochei Mamre said was not all that important, was not all that damaging. There was nothing really terrible about his psak, because after all, Ha'ilu Chudekoy Ba'ilu Chudekoy. So Rabbi said, how do we understand this statement of the Gemara in Sanhedrin? So let's see how the different Tosafot would explain this. According to the Tosafot in Masechet Sanhedrin, everything's beautiful. Everything's perfect. Because Taka, the Din Midaraisa is, Hay v'chudikoy, is a Svar D'Araisa that is very much relevant. It is the Poter for Baal Tosaf. It is the declaration that what the Zochei Mamre said was basically meaningless. And it's for the same reason that we're not going to punish him about Tosif, is the same reason why we're not going to punish him about Zochei Mamre. Because quite frankly, no one did anything wrong. No one did anything terrible. Because I'm holding Dalaminim, and then in my hand on the side, I'm holding a tulip. The tulip is no shaykhus, living my death, and the Dalaminim. Hayduchudikoy, each one a separate entity. So according to the Tosif and Sanhedrin, this Gemara reads like a charm. But according to Tosis, in Masechet Sukkah, that Hay v'chudikoy is not really true. That you really do violate Baal Tosif. Hay v'chudikoy is not a mafkiya of Baal Tosif. So it's not a mafkiya of Baal Tosif. So then it basically doesn't exist. There's no such svara. Hay v'chudikoy is a meaningless statement. It was a fleeing havamina on the days in Sukkah that got rejected quickly. Kamash v'lan wrong. So how come it makes a grand appearance on Tzadet Pechetz? How come here in Peches and the Sukkim Zochei Mamre, all of a sudden you're giving such credibility to this Hayel Chudekoy? How is Hayel Chudekoy a mafki of the chi of Zochei Mamre if in Sukkah we said Hayel Chudekoy was a big joke? It was an incorrect avamin. So Tosafot in Sukkah already is sensitive to this question. So take a look at Tosafot. Back to Tosafot in Sukkah, Laman Aleph Amud Beis. The Hadikom, let's pick it up from, it's about 10 lines or so from the bottom. The first line is Choshev Kemosif. So Tosis is trying to defend their position here in Sukkah, that Hayel Chudekoy is not a mafki, is not a point different about Tosif. I, Hadikom, said, Hevi in the Mandiyom, in Tzorch, Eger, Hayel Chudekoy, Hayel Chudekoy. Hayel Le'inyan, the Ainz, they call a Mosif Gereya, the Le'olam, Yudei Mitzvah Yotza, or the Oivra about Tosif. No, Rebbe, what does you say? That there are two different sugyas. One sugya is, are you over Baal Tosif? And the other sugya is, did you ruin the mitzvah? Are you yotzei the mitzvah? And the answer to those questions are not necessarily identical. In Sukkah, we're not discussing whether you yotzei the mitzvah. That's not the topic. The topic is, are you allowed to do what you're doing? Are you allowed to walk the shoe with the tulip in your hand? So Tosif says, chalila v'chalila, of course you're not allowed to do that. That's Baal Tosif d'oraisa. I had a chudikoy, never heard of such a thing. That's not a mafkiyah for Baal Tosif. So you're over full force Baal Tosif and Raman Aleph. Behind the chudikoy is not a mafkiyah Baal Tosif. But when it comes to Zochei Mamre, what's the criteria when someone's a Zochei Mamre? The criteria is, was his psak meaningful or was it stav leitzonos? Was it stav verbatim? If people are going to follow his psak, it's going to turn out that they're not yotzei the mitzvah, that's a big problem. But if they are yotzei the mitzvah, so then that's not technically a zochei mamre. Zochei mamre is defined by, did he blow this mitzvah or not? Did he destroy this mitzvah or not? And that's what the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, that vis-a-vis from the vantage point of where you yotzei the mitzvah, why are you not yotzei the mitzvah? Based on what mechanism in halacha are you not yotzei the mitzvah? The fact that I have a fifth min in my hand, Chinuch Nikoy is a svar deraisa vis-a-vis being yaitzid in mitzvah. But it's not a fact that deraisa vis-a-vis batosif. And that's why in Sanhedrin the Gemara took it with the utmost seriousness, and in Sukkah the Gemara laughed it off. Because Chinuch Nikoy is a significant vis-a-vis kashrus or pasos of the cheftz of the Alminim, but it has zero impact on the violation of this. So Rabbi Yisai, a tremendous chiddush just emanating from this Tosis mamish, and in nowhere, Tosis just told us the following. Tosis just told us that a person can attempt to do a mitzvah, be in violation of Al Tosif,
and still be with Al Tosif.
Until I read this Tosis, I never heard of such a thing. Actually, Machlekes Rishon Rambam derived it. Is that phenomenon even exist in Allah? Is Al Tosif an automatic strike? Once you know about Tosif, it's inconceivable to be able to get to this one. You know, I get my mouth. It's about Tosif. And I was yanting. And my bracha and my lulav also. I said, can you show me first about Tosif and lulav? When you're yanting, it's a lulav, and I'll get mouth afterwards. I'm not advocating doing that, but that's what Tosif just set up for us. That the two of them is the sugis and the sukkah. The sugis and the tzadet are talking about two different topics. So if I say, how do we test this now? How do we test the 2 days in Tosis? What would our test in the lab be to try to determine is Hailuchudei Koi a mafkia paite from Baal Tosif or not? So we had two radically different approaches in Tosis. We thought we had a Gemara in Sanhedrin. Tosis rejected that raya. Go back to square one. Where would we even begin to look to see whether Hailuchudei Koi the mafkia of Baal Tosif? So the Chumra, a good place to look is other mitzvahs. We've been spending 45 minutes talking about Dalaminim, but about Tosif applies to other mitzvahs. Let's do a little quick search of other mitzvahs and try to see, is Hailuch HaDekoi a factor that we're even concerned with at all? So the primary sugi about Tosif in Shas is in Maseches Rosh Hashanah on Daf Kav Ches of the days. But the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah on Daf Kav Ches of the days gives multiple examples of Baal Tosif. One of the examples of Baal Tosif, we'll take a look at Kav Ches of the days. The first one is Menabach Menuche. It's about a little more than a third of the way down. Menabach Menuche. Omele Abaye, Elmeata Yoshe Meshmini B'sukha Yilke. The Gemara is talking about the possibility of being violating Baal Tosif for sleeping or eating or spending time in the sukkah on Shmini Atzeres. Now, which is quick, very, very quick, just to highlight that the Gemara does not mean you're in Chutz Lord. If you're in Chutz Lord, then you have to eat the Sukkah Shmini Atzeres. That's a Gemara and a second Sukkah. The Gemara is talking about a person who lives in Eretz Yisrael. He's only observing 7 days of Sukkah, as it says in the Chumash. The 8th day is Shmini Atzeres for him. And he decides he wants to go into the Sukkah also. So the Gemara's tumbling is not a violation of Al-Tosif. The only reason why the Gemara is not sure, because maybe he's not having kavanah to be meisif, and that's part of the sugya of mitzvahs kavanah not for now. But putting aside the technical issues in the sugya, it is clear as day that the Gemara has entertained the possibility, and the halacha is, in fact, if a person goes into the sukkah on Shmini Atzeres, l'shem yichud mitzvahs pasukas teishvu shmonas yomim, he adds on to a day in the chumash, and he says, I'm going into the yaitzim mitzvah derais of sukkah b'yom ha-shmini, he's chayav malchus from Baal Tosif. That's one application of Al-Tosif. Let's continue a little bit further. Same sugya, a couple of lines down. Let's pick it up from Minayin Lekoyin, about 3 lines down, the middle of the line, Minayin Lekoyin. First little line is Rav Shalom Bar Abba. Minayin Lekoyin, she'ol l'duchin, a koyin went up to the duchin, she'lo yoyim, he shouldn't say as follows, ho v'nosta li toira v'shus l'varach es Yisrael, Ribbono Shel Olam gave me the privilege, opportunity to give up b'riches koyinim, ayisi brach achas k'shali, I'll add on my own bracha. I'm going to give you if Rach Shem Shmurach here, that's nice, but I want to hear, I love the tzibur so much, and give a little bit longer. I would learn with a sasifal adam. No, it's a violation of the raisa of Baal Tosif. You're not allowed to add on to the Birchus 3 brachas, at Kamli Yossi. Add on your own personal bracha. You want to sing a Malach HaGoyim afterwards, that's a violation of the raisa of Baal Tosif. So the Gemara gave us 2 practical examples way out of the realm of Baal Minim of Baal Tosif. One is the Yashem Mishmini B'Sukkah, and the other is the person who is Mais, the kind is Maisif the Bracha. What do we think about that? Do we think those two examples meet the criteria for Baal Tosef? What would possibly lead us to believe that these two cases are not really Baal Tosef? I would plug in a svara called Hailuch Hudekoi. What does the 8th day of Sukkot have to do with the last 7 days of Sukkot? I understand Baal Tosef, says Tosef and Edrin, according to Rabbi Yehuda and Dalamina, because they're tied together, Lutzer, Edgar, they're physically, they're Keshel, Chayom, and Gemal. Thus is Baal Tosef. But according to Tosef and Masechet and Edrin Peches, if you take a lulav and shul and hold it next to your Dalamina, that's Dvar B'Deilim, that's meaningless, because Hailuch Hudekoi has no Shaykh, has no Tzirah. So if you really believe that Tosef and Edrin is right, that Hailuch Hudekoi and Hailuch Hudekoi is a mafkir, is a point from Baal Tosef, so why is this fellow sitting in the Sukkot of the 8th day of Baal Tosef? And again, it's kind of hard for us to use that exact imagery, to invoke that imagery, because Hailuch Hudekoi is an imagery in Cheftza. And we're talking the imageries of Zman, but it's the same type of idea. That the Zman of the 8th day is Hailuch Hudekoi for the 7 days. The fellow with the cutting is giving the extra bracha. He said his 3 brachas. And now he gives his 4th bracha. What's the connection between the 4th bracha and the first 3 brachas? How is that a violation of Baal Tosef? So it's these two Gemaras that led a group of Rishonim to say that Tosef and Sukkah is correct. That you see from these Gemaras that you can have Baal Tosef even without any tzirut, without any shaychus to the cheftza of the mitzvah itself, to the guf of the mitzvah itself. So if you take a look at the Ritva, those who we got the message. I sent the Ritva on the Ma'amar Kumas. Anyone got it? So it's, those who look inside the Ritva themselves, or those who have it on the page that I sent, it's on Lamed Aleph of the days. It's the column Reish Tzadi Dalet, second column on the page. It's 6 lines from the bottom. Over Tosef's tier to the Vaday, Afilu Rabbanan over Lamed Chamish Mishim Bal Tosef. That this is according to Tosef by us, Tosef in Sukkah. But there is Baal Tosef on the 5th min, Lagabe Halor Min and Hailuch Hudekoi Hailuch Hudekoi. That Svar Hailuch Hudekoi doesn't impact the Baal Tosef. Maybe it has to do with Sugis and Zohar Nama, it's not relevant to Baal Tosef. Ki Inyon, similar Zohar to Ritva, Ki Inyon Koyin Oyle Duchim, Umosi Brach Achis Mishalai, or Mishal Baal Tosef. So this is not my Moshul. The Ritva is quoting this Moshul, this Dimyon, this imagery, the same way that the Gemara says the kind of way of the bracha is up about Tosef, even though it's clearly bracha zul chudekoy, bracha zul chudekoy. And the second imagery is the hayashim shmini like it. The fellow sleeps in the sukkah tree that tells us like it from about Tosef. Afagav the chol yom v'yayim lechudekoy. He says obviously hayluchudekoy is not relevant. So comes the Ritva. A little bit further on in the Ma'amar Kumas, and Kal Reish Tzadi Zayin, have you seen it? And Kal Reish Tzadi Zayin, and he says no. He says that those two Gemaras in Rosh Hashanah are not liars. We take a look at the bottom of Kal Reish Tzadi Zayin, 3 lines at the bottom. Umasha Omru B'Koyin She'olu Duchin, now he's quoting from his Rebbe from the Ra'ah. Before he was quoting from Tosef's Bior, and now he's quoting from the Ra'ah. The Ra'ah happens to be identical with what Tosef said entrances. And Hailuch Hudekoi is a mafkir, is a point that for Baal. So, Frank the Ra'ah, Frank the Ritual's Rebbe, Masha Omru, 3 lines in the bottom, Masha Omru, Bukhan, Sha'ol, Duchid, Bahaisin, Echem, Shaloi, Shaol, Mushim, Baal Tosef. Velo Amin, the Chabracha, Bracha, Beluchuda Kaima, Shani Hosam, the Tzorich, Priestess Kapayim, the Kaven Shakol Osem Priestess Kapayim Havalei, sorry, Kelul of the Rabbi Yehuda Shetzorich Eged. Loyaminin had the Chudekoi had the Chudekoi. But Zok the Ra'ah. What an imagery the Ra'ah just said. The Ra'ah just told us, no, of course you need it to be one Cheft to be on Baal Tosef. Of course there's no Baal Tosef without meaning according to the Rabbanim because there's no connection to the Cheftza. Eged is meaningless. But guess what, says the Ra'ah in the Ritva. By the Kohen adding on that 4th bracha, you can't hide behind Hailuch Hudekoi. You know why? So that fourth bracha is physically / halachically connected to the first three. What mechanism connects it to the first three? The kohen's hands up in the air. Since the kohen is holding up his hands in the air for the first three, and he keeps them up from Abba HaGadol in the Korah, he keeps it up in Hashem HaKem HaSech HaZekhukam, that priestess Yadayim, that Nesias Kapayim, creates the tziruf. Catch this one. The tziruf of priestess Kapayim is the halach equivalent of Eged, according to whom? According to Rabbi Yehuda. Just as according to Rabbi Yehuda, Eged creates that merging, that fusion between the Tosefos and the Ikar to qualify for the violation of Al-Persi. The priestess Yadayim, Nesias Kapayim, creates the fusion within the parish and in the mitzvah of Birchas Kohanim. And therefore, you can't hide behind the p'tur of Hanukkah to Korban. And what about Yosher Mishmini? So they're all the same model, the same imagery. But Yosher Mishmini, lochoshet the Korban Chode. That's not called Hanukkah to Korban. Don't hide behind that. Kevan shekol hayam mitzufim in hefsek benotayim. If you'd sit in the sukkah on Chanukah, that wouldn't be Baltosif. Because that's Haile Chudekon. There's no Shaychas between Chanukah and the Sermon David Sukkot. But Shmini Atzeres is very much connected because it's the next day in the calendar. It's the Ritzifus of the Luach. Ein Yom Echad Bein Atayim, Ein Hesed Bein Atayim. That is the halach equivalent, catch this one, of an Eged of Rabbi Yehuda. So Zok the Ritvon, the Hilal Gaon, say that it is inconceivable, it's impossible to be able to place it without that Tzif, without that Chibor. But there are multiple ways in halacha to create that chibur. Arash Sugya talks about one possibility, Eged of Rabbi Yehuda, is one way of being mechaber the Tosefos to the mitzvah itself. By the mitzvah of Birchas Kohanim, the priestess Yadayim can create the chibur. By the Yoshe Mishmini, the Ritzifas Hayam and the Luach to create the chibur. According to the Ritvan, there are. If a person offers his fourth bracha with his hands down, Hitaka did not violate Bal Tosef. He is entitled to high bar in Halachu Dekor. A person reads in the Sukkah a week later, there's no Tzirif Hayamim, did not violate Bal Tosef. According to the Tosef by us, Tosef in Sukkah, that is absurd statement, that cannot be true. According to Tosef, Hayashi B'Shvini, or B'Chi, or B'Asiri, or in Shavuos. If you go into your sukkah, Hindi Mukhav Zul Meshay Mitzvah sukkah in the middle of July, that's about Tosef D'Raisa. I have a Chudikai, says Tosef, who cares? That was a fleeing habit, never to be heard of again. And according to Tosef, you're off the duchen already, your hands are down already, and you decide, as you're walking back to your seat, yeah, I got a great bracha to give you, HaMalach HaGolos, and we've rachas, the arm, boom. If you did it l'shem, hini mucham zuman, I want to be meisif, you were just violated. And the Gemara Mashal HaKavches, the whole discussion, maybe even without Kavar L'Hosif, that's part of the whole sugi Kavches. There is a famous chumra that some of Haredim have, he spoke about this best, I'm sure, one of the, believe it or not, chumras, that when the kohen gets off the duchen, and comes back from duchening, you shouldn't extend him the greeting of Yashkoyach. Because if you say Yashkoyach, you know what two bad words he may respond? Baruch Tia. And lifting the words Baruch Tia may be a nisa deraisa about Tosef. Again, any Kohanim who never heard of that chumra, don't feel bad. Most possible never heard of that chumra. But there is such a chumra, Sabach Rav, such a chumra. That chumra only makes sense if you deny this Ra'ah and the Rizvah. That chumra doesn't even get off the ground unless the guy says, after he said Mishkoch, he picks his hands up and says, Baruch Tia. Mishkoch. That would be a violation of Baltaisif. So the whole Tishra on the Ritva, you can rest assured there's no Baltaisif, but simply just saying a Baruch Tia with the hands down. Some poskim of the era, that maybe there's another reason why, if you put your hands down, you're not over Baltaisif for a totally different reason. Remember, we said Baltaisif is a little bit tricky, because to be over Baltaisif, you have to do the whole Safa in a way that would have been the mitzvah. Remember what Tosis told us about Menachem Aleph, that if the item that you're most of is Shalom Kedach Devosan, that's not about Tosif. If you walk in a shoe with four beam and upside down tulip, you're not about Tosif. So there's a Shaila. If I go ahead and I'm not a Kohen, the Kohen does Birchas Kohanim without Nesias Kapayim, so that wouldn't be an acceptable Birchas Kohanim. So if that wouldn't be an acceptable Birkas Kohanim, maybe it wouldn't qualify as a Baal Tosef Birkas Kohanim either. So that's a totally different route. That has nothing to do with our topic. That has nothing to do with the Ra'ad, the Ritvaz, using the Six Commandments as a vehicle, as a mechanism to create that Tziru. That's like the totally tangential reason to get sneaky out of Baal Tosef. But in terms of our sugya, we have a major machlokes of Rishonim, how to read those two sugyas in Rosh Hashanah. When the Gemara says the Yashin B'Shmini, was it Dafka Shmini or Shmini B'Hava? And when the Gemara says that there's Baltos and Bibbis Kohanim, is it limited to the case when the Kohen's hands are still up? So that's going to totally, on the 2 days in Taisus, Nachligas Taisus and Sanhedrin Taisus and Sukkah, which ultimately depends upon how to read the two sukkahs, of an Alpha and a Beis. How do you solve the contradiction between the two sukkahs? Two very, very different kishot, two very, very different approaches to the entire sukkah. Hopefully, Mitzvah next week, we'll pick up from this point. And then we should have now raised a very, very basic question, that there was a practice in many communities, and there's still a practice in some communities today, that people add on to the Lubin Esrei. I don't mean they add on a tulip or a rose, but many people have a custom of adding on extra, seemingly unnecessary hadasim. And we know that Halacha tells us, we think that Halacha tells us you need three hadasim. If you look around, some people walk around with many, many, many hadasim in their bundle. And the Rishonim raise a red flare. Wait a second. Is that a violation of Baal Tosef? Part of the potential solution to that is going to depend on our sugya of Aluchim Bikoy, Aluchim Bikoy. We have a lot of work still cut out for us. Hopefully, it's from next week, we'll continue from this Nakuda in terms of understanding a little bit better understanding about the parameters of Baal Tosef, particularly the Alamidim, and then branching out to other things. Okay. Everybody, everyone, good night.
Lamed Aleph Amar Aleph. We said that because Rabbi Yehuda says Eged is necessary, so if you take a tulip and you use that to wrap around, you'll be over Baal Tosef.
Right.
But why can't Rabbi Yehuda also hold Kederach Kedilasan?
Because Rabbi Yehuda does accept Kederach Kedilasan, but there's no Kederach Kedilasan on the Eged. Eged, by definition, to tie something around things that are standing straight, you got to turn the thing on its side. So obviously, when the Torah tells us that lulav tzur eged, the Torah is saying the eged shibar doesn't have to be kederach delasan. So once Rabbi Yehuda accepts that there's a part of the cheftza of the aminim that need not be kederach delasan, so then you can't hide behind being mafkir the Baal Tosef. You can't say, well, I'm not learning Baal Tosef because I'm not doing it as the chelik of the mitzvah. But that's what the mitzvah looks like. The mitzvah is shloka kederach delasan, at least on the eged vantage point. Okay, good. Good night. Take care.
Abby.
Yeah.
There's machlokes Rashi Taisus about whether you can have a chazaka in time, meaning like the din of Rebbe that is called Avishar Asim Shem Shavos Lagaz
Vlad. Right, because it's mom, right.
So it's the same nekuda, meaning if you hold it, it's not shaykh to the cheskes zman. So the idea
would be. The concept of zman, we don't use man to the principle like a cheftza. It's not like a cheftza of zman. So you're saying that that model that they're all telling me is that we view the 8th day as mechumer yachat to the 7th day. So if you really believe that mechumer yachat, that means it has to be chad a cheftza. So it's hard to believe that should apply to the concept of zman. It's an interesting idea. Unless you hold that Haimusu de Koi doesn't really, not really been the cheftza. Haimusu de Koi really just means that the Tosefes has to be mechumer to the Igra Mitzvah. So it doesn't mean that it has to merge to become a chad cheftza. So, you can't have a Tosefes in the middle of nowhere. But Tosefes by definition means I'm doing the mitzvah plus, I'm adding on to the mitzvah. So that's the problem of Haimusu de Koi. So therefore, when it comes to Zman, it need not fall into the category of a cheftza of Zman, but it's still a mechubet of Zman, it's a mitzvah of Zman.
Even if, no, but if you say that there's no chazak in Zman, it's because that each second is not connected to the previous second.
Yeah, I mean, that's the word, but there's no chazak in Zman because each second is not connected. What the pshat is that the whole notion of chazak is only speaks to tangible items. The tangible item had a certain status to it, so then that status continues. Zman is not nothing exists about the Zman. It's not clear. What exactly is that machlokes? Is that what you're saying is correct? That because each moment in Zman is on its own? Is that why?
Shachter said that. I don't know if there's another one. He said that.
That has to be the beer. You're right. If that's correct, that each second is on its own, then you're correct. That's like the rush of the end of my cotton, right? Right by Shabbos.
Shabbos, yeah.
Second is on its own. Right. It's not because the Rosh, according to Rabbi Shaita, is saying that it's not shayach that the tchilas is man should create yisa for the continuation, because it's very like a very philosophical, physical kind of a physics kind of a question. How do you do time? Is time one entity? Is time separate? Is known entity? I don't have to think about that. Okay, sounds good. Great. Okay, good. Okay, good. All right. Be well, everybody. Thank you. Good night.